A Nobel Prize-winning physicist walks into a room full of policymakers and asks a simple question: how do we know what we know? The silence that follows reveals something profound about our era. We've built a civilization on scientific knowledge, vaccines that save millions, technologies that connect billions, systems that feed the world. Yet most of us have no idea how to evaluate the very expertise we depend on. This isn't just an intellectual puzzle. During the pandemic, this confusion killed people. When climate scientists issue warnings, this uncertainty paralyzes action. When doctors recommend treatments, this doubt breeds conspiracy theories. We're drowning in information while starving for wisdom, and the cost is mounting daily. Every meaningful choice we make involves a hidden tension between three forces: expertise, values, and autonomy. Consider a parent facing treatment options for their child's cancer. The oncologist provides survival statistics. That's expertise. But those numbers can't tell you whether avoiding brutal side effects matters more than maximizing survival odds by a few percentage points. That's values. And ultimately, you must live with the choice. That's autonomy. Get the balance wrong, and disaster follows. Overweight expertise, and you get the Challenger explosion, where NASA officials ignored engineers' warnings because they trusted their own confident but wrong calculations. Overweight autonomy, and you get people doing their own research on vaccines, making themselves vulnerable to charismatic conspiracy theorists. The sweet spot requires something counterintuitive. Experts must persuade rather than command, explaining not just what they know, but how they know it and what they don't know. Your smartphone is a reality-extending instrument. A spectrograph app reveals that a single sung note is actually a complex chord of overtones, a truth your ears process, but your consciousness never perceives. This is how we've always expanded our grasp of reality, from Galileo's telescope to modern brain scanners making thoughts visible. Scientific knowledge works like a raft. You can replace individual planks without sinking the whole structure. We triangulate truth using multiple instruments, perspectives, and methods. When a dozen approaches point to the same conclusion, we've likely found something real. Yet knowing correlations isn't enough. We need causation to change reality. Knowing alcohol drinkers have higher osteoporosis rates is interesting. Knowing why transforms information into power. Does alcohol leach calcium? Does bone pain drive drinking? Does sedentary lifestyle cause both? Each explanation demands different interventions. Randomized trials remain gold standard, but when human experiments aren't possible, we use Hill's criteria, examining correlation strength, consistency, dose-response relationships, and biological plausibility. Understanding causation in complex systems is the difference between observing the world and shaping it. Science quantifies exactly how much it doesn't know. When physicists measure something, they report error bars showing their confidence range. Nobel laureate Luis Alvarez once stopped a colleague's presentation, declaring, "If you don't understand your error bars, there's no point in hearing your talk." This probabilistic thinking transforms uncertainty into a tool. If your risk of being hit crossing the street is 1 in 100,000 per crossing, and you cross 1,000 times yearly for 100 years, you'll likely get hit once in your lifetime. That's not fear-mongering. It's useful information for deciding whether to look both ways. Politicians rarely speak this way because voters punish uncertainty, preferring leaders who project omniscient confidence. Our brains dangerously excel at seeing patterns that aren't there. Scientists discovered the Higgs boson by analyzing trillions of particle collisions, yet initially called it a Higgs-like particle rather than claiming definitive discovery. Show people genuinely random sequences, and they consistently mistake them for patterned. We expect heads, tails, heads, tails to look more random than heads, 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 tails. This pattern-seeking ability served our ancestors when rustling grass might signal a predator, but it wreaks havoc in modern decision-making. We see conspiracy where there's coincidence, causation where there's correlation. The solution isn't suppressing this instinct, but developing systematic filters to distinguish real signals from noise. A prominent scientist predicted fewer than 170,000 U.S. COVID-19 deaths before the virus burned out. The actual toll exceeded 1 million. NASA predicted one Challenger failure in 100,000 launches. Engineering data suggested one in 29. 7 astronauts died because confidence substituted for accuracy. We need experts, but we must demand intellectual humility. Those who acknowledge uncertainty, seek contradictory evidence, and genuinely understand opposing views. Phil Tetlock's 20-year study revealed foreign policy experts' predictions barely beat random guesses, yet wrong experts maintained the same high confidence as accurate ones. The key is calibration. When someone says they're 90% confident, they should be right 90% of the time. Most experts fail this test, but those who pass maintain credibility even when wrong. You can't eliminate both types of error simultaneously. Criminal justice uses a beyond reasonable doubt standard because convicting an innocent person is worse than freeing a guilty one. Medical tests for rare diseases illustrate this perfectly. With a 99% accurate test for a disease affecting 1 in 1,000 people, most positive results will be false alarms. False positives from 999 healthy people outnumber true positives from 1 sick person. College admissions face similar trade-offs. High test score cutoffs minimize admitting struggling students, but maximize rejecting those who'd thrive. Science calculates these probabilities, but can't tell you which errors matter more. That's a value judgment, reflecting what kind of society we want to build. Andrew Wiles spent 7 years proving Fermat's last theorem, a problem pursued for 358 years because mathematicians believed it solvable. This discipline persistence treats failures as data points rather than dead ends. mRNA vaccines, once dismissed as impossible, resulted from decades of persistent research before revolutionizing medicine during the pandemic. This mindset challenges scarcity thinking, the zero-sum assumption that resources are fixed. While world population quadrupled over the past century, extreme poverty dropped from 60% to under 10%, proving innovation creates abundance. The key balance: persist without blind stubbornness, regularly assess progress, and pivot when needed. Yet individual persistence needs collective wisdom. In 1907, Francis Galton discovered 800 people's average guess of an ox's weight was nearly perfect, closer than any individual estimate, including expert butchers. This wisdom of crowds requires no discussion. Deliberation undermines it through dominant personalities and groupthink. Leaders should withhold early opinions, groups should welcome devil's advocates, and diverse teams, though less comfortable, consistently outperform homogeneous ones by reducing noise and overcoming biases. Deliberative polling demonstrates structured group thinking. Gather random citizens for 3 days, provide materials, facilitate discussions, and let them question experts. Opinions shift through genuine learning. The Good Judgment Project proved ordinary people, using structured forecasting methods, outperform professional analysts with classified information. Super forecasters share key traits: open-mindedness, acknowledging knowledge limits, and revising beliefs readily. Good thinking is less about what you know, more about how you process information and update beliefs. For unpredictable futures, use scenario planning. Identify pending decisions, determine key forces, develop multiple scenarios, and choose robust options. A business considering expansion shouldn't bet on one forecast. Develop scenarios for boom, recession, and stagnation. Then choose strategies working across all three. The goal isn't eliminating uncertainty, but building resilience and flexibility in your plans. Extreme poverty has plummeted from over half to less than a tenth of global population. Literacy rates have climbed to 87%. We may be the first generations capable of building a world where everyone can thrive, but only if we develop techniques for constructive, large-scale collective thinking. This requires recognizing good faith partners, people committed to finding truth rather than winning debates. The tell? Willingness to be proven wrong. In a fractured world, these tools aren't luxuries, they're survival equipment. The decisive step, cultivate relationships with thoughtful people who disagree with you, not to convert them, but to sharpen your thinking. The most dangerous belief isn't being wrong, it's being certain you're right. The future belongs to those who can think clearly about uncertainty, acknowledge limitations honestly, collaborate across differences, and persist in solving problems that matter. Intellectual humility paired with determined optimism transforms knowledge into wisdom and wisdom into progress.